Jim, thank you so much for joining us today on Galesburg Live.
Well, thanks, Chris. I'm glad to be here.
You've created a lot of excitement here in our area with fiber in Knoxville. How is it going so far?
Well, it's actually going really good. It's something that we started working with the city filers, if you will, probably a year and a half ago or so. Started talking to them about what we might be able to bring to them because we're seeing a lot of interest, people reaching out to us saying we'd love to see you come to our community. And so we start having discussions in the community and having town meetings, inviting people to come visit us to see what that interest, what that demand really looked like. And it's gone from there to where we are today.
So is that how you wanted to find out just what kind of interest it was?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no question. So any community we go into before we ever go build it, we always go and see what the demand, what the interest looks like. This infrastructure with fiber is just so expensive to build. Yeah. And you got to make sure the demand's really there before you go make that investment. We don't have a problem making the investment. We just need to make sure that the need's there.
Yeah. And so, I mean, obviously you saw the need was there.
Yep.
Was it overwhelmingly there? I mean, are they?
Yeah, we saw a lot of excitement. You know, early on, it was a little slow in the process because while people are familiar with us, being from part of Mid-Century Telephone Co-op, and of course we go by Mid-Century Fiber, I think just coming to the community, letting them see who we are, what we're about, and really once we got that first fiberhood going, that's when the momentum started building. We started seeing a lot of activity, so we're pretty excited. Right.
So was it the when someone finally that you get someone hooked up and they start, hey, this is the real deal.
You know, advertising is great. Word of mouth is where the power really is. You get people in the community talking about what they're seeing, and when they actually see it's not smoke and mirrors, it's real.
That's right.
That's when they get excited, and there's nothing better than hearing them talk about it at the coffee shop.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So you're coming from – so I grew up in Maquon, and we always had Mid-Century. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to Gilson, is that right?
Yep.
And then that was the next logical step to go up there toward Knoxville.
Yeah, we get a lot of requests from different communities asking us if we'll consider coming in their area. And for us, we're excited about Knoxville just because Knoxville's a bigger community. We know there's a lot of need here. And it was just a natural extension of where we are with our co-op.
But you call it, and let me see if I get this right, you call it an edge-out area, Knoxville is. Explain that for me.
Yeah, so we are a 14 exchange incumbent traditional telephone company. Mm-hmm. That's what Mid-Century Telephone Co-op is. What we do is if we're moving outside of our traditional co-op territory and other areas, we call those edge-out areas. So we're edging out from our, let's say, our home base. Yeah. And so Knoxville is one of those.
Yeah. Would you consider – is Knoxville one of your largest areas there?
So when you look at our edge-out areas that we're in today, Knoxville is our second biggest.
Okay.
We're in Canton, Illinois also.
So Canton isn't it? I didn't realize that.
We're our first edge-out town.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is exciting.
Yep.
So tell us just what is fiber? I mean, I know we're making this – let's try to simplify it as much as we can, but I just see it as faster internet, but –
yeah, there's no question. I mean, that's the key issue is it's faster internet. It's a newer technology. And the really fun, exciting, I like to call it cool thing about it is the fact that we don't know what the limitations of fiber is. So today, when you look at our internet speeds, we can go up to a gig. Well, what's the next evolution of that? It could be a 10 gig connection to the home, depending on what happens in the home and connectivity with all your devices, besides your TVs, your refrigerators, and all the other electronics and gadgets and so forth. So we don't know limitations. So this is the future infrastructure for high-speed internet. And it's got a lot of positive benefits compared to what copper can do today.
Yeah.
Copper has a lot of limitations.
I see. So Knoxville is having great response with this right now. People are loving the fiber, especially during this whole working from home. We're going to talk about this later on, but my gosh, the applications now, it's needed so much more than maybe even a year ago.
Yeah, no question. You know, what's interesting is internet used to be a nice-to-have service. It's a requirement for people being able to do what they need today. So it was always interesting. It seemed like cable TV was the big service. You know, I could do without my phone if I had to, but I had to have my entertainment.
Yeah.
Well, now that's internet. It's something that's it's demanded in the household. And, you know, with COVID-19, everything going on, it's not just the students having to work from home, but have their classes and remote from their home base. It's the parents who are also working remotely. And, You know, in today's environment, if you've got young children doing their schooling at home, mom or dad, one of them, if not both of them, are going to be at the house also to assist them. And so that's critical and key that it's really helped through this challenging time we're
going through. That's right, and the demand is so great that fiber, again, makes it faster. And I'm sure you're getting tons of calls knowing that you're in Knoxville saying, okay, when are you coming to Abingdon? When are you getting to Lake Bracken? When are you going
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It was even, you know, interesting all that, too, is, you know, when we look at Knoxville, it's actually broken into what we call fiberhoods.
Okay.
And it's actually 12 fiberhoods. So as we look at the interest and demand, if the demand, once it hits a certain mark in that one fiberhood, that's when we get it approved and we go into construction and build that out. So right now in Knoxville, we've got 8 of the 12 fiberhoods. It's either built or in the process of being built. And there's 4 more out there. But, you know, with those fiberhoods that haven't moved yet, that we're still waiting for enough interest and demand, they're just anxious. We get a call from those people, and they're saying, "When are we there yet? Are we there yet?" So we encourage them to go tell their neighbors.
I kind of wanted to pause and kind of go back and talk about your background. You're from Quincy.
Yeah, born and raised in Quincy, Illinois. Went away to college. Actually lived in Springfield after college for a little bit, and worked for the Diocese of Springfield, so worked for the Catholic bishop for our region, and then ended up coming back to Quincy when I got my first job in this industry.
Yeah, right. Did you play sports against Galesburg back there in Quincy?
Yes, I did. I was a Blue Devil.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, so I played baseball for the Blue Devils. So, those rivalries were fun back in the day.
Yeah.
And they still are, actually.
How's everybody doing down there in the Quincy area with COVID-19? I mean,
we're all faced with the same challenges. Mm. You know, it's all about doing your part and trying to make sure your community stays under thresholds and all that so we can stay open. But, you know, we're all challenged with it, but things are going well. And, we're trying to help there as well with part of what I'm involved in besides Mid-Century.
Absolutely. Well, you're also the CEO of Adams Fiber.
Yes.
Down there in Golden, Illinois, but you cover the entire city of Quincy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
fiber.
We're an actual 13 telephone exchange, co-op company, or telephone company there. And we've edged out there in about 14, 15 other communities, Quincy being our biggest, 18,000 locations. And so this is nothing new to me, getting into this realm and doing these things. And, we started our first fiber builds there back in 2000 and let me back up even further. I'm trying to think here. 2006, 2007, maybe.
Oh boy.
So we've been doing it for a little while there.
So you go from working for the Catholic Diocese. Mm-hmm. How do you go from there to being the CEO of two telecommunication companies?
Yeah, great question, Chris. Yeah, exactly. So I have an accounting background. So I went to school at Illinois State and got an accounting degree there. And that's what I was doing, was at the diocese, and then I needed to get back home. So I got my job at Adams. I got married and bought my first house all within the same week. So, you know, you talk about getting thrown into the fire. but I came in there and started helping them on their financial side and as their accountant. And from there became the CFO over time, assistant manager, and came into the GM role. It's a great industry because, you know, you're part of an organization that's smaller, so you can touch everything. You can be involved in the growth from being a plain old telephone company to growing into so many other services to where we are today. So our business is not boring.
That's right. And in the many years that you've been with these two organizations, you've seen so many changes so far. Now, here we are with fiber and the fast, and we'll talk about the future coming up here on the show. But what do you like most about what you do?
Yeah, I think it's just the change and building relationships. And, you know, I've been blessed to be involved with both these organizations and made a lot of friendships. And, you know, and what's really fun is taking a lot of the know-how, what we've done, and sharing it with other managers and CEOs across the United States.
All right.
You know, when you look at companies like ours, both at Mid-Century and Adams, there's over 800 of them throughout the United States.
Wow.
And so we're all fighting tooth and nail for, you know, longevity as organizations for the future. And, you know, anything we can share information and, you know, how to look at opportunities, those are the things that we do. But that's the fun part. And even to a point that our Adams organization has developed a product that other companies throughout the United States is using to look at growth opportunities.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So what frustrates you about this industry of yours?
I got to be careful how I say this.
Sure.
Probably just dealing with how the regulations change with us.
Oh,
so in part
yeah.
of our business, it's very regulated from the FCC.
Okay. I wouldn't know anything about that.
Exactly. Exactly. You live and breathe that too.
Oh, we do.
And,
yes, we
do. And I think that's part of it is just things can change on a dime and yeah. how do you operate, you know, with that understanding. And so it's not knowing what's really far down there in the future on that side of things. But, you know, there's so many more pluses than negatives when it comes to this industry. It's fun. I could probably do this until I'm 70 or 80. I probably will be completely gray, probably no hair, but yeah, it's just a fun industry to be in. It's growing fast.
How are your staff doing in the midst of all this coronavirus? Your teams?
Yeah, no, I appreciate you asking that question because we take that side of it very serious.
Right.
I mean, no different than everyone else out there. So, there, no question, the demand out there for the service has been very good for us. I mean, our business is booming right now.
Right.
But, you know, with our team, they've stepped up. You know, they all have to think about their families and going back home and making sure they minimize the impact of COVID-19, these types of issues on themselves. So we've gone through and we've got a lot of safety practices implemented, right. whether some staff's in-house, at the office still, or specifically out in the field, you know, so we have a lot of precautions we go through before we ever walk into a house. So trying to make sure that it's safe and those types of things. So we go above and beyond trying to make sure, because it's not just about our employees, but it's also our new customers and current customers as we're engaged with them.
That's right.
But we know the needs out there. So we can't go bury our head in the sand and pretend like we can't do anything. We got to help people out in these situations. And families were struggling through having to change their livelihood, working from home and having their children home and schooling and all these things.
Yeah,
so,
Well, let's go back to we're talking with Jim Bromer. He's the CEO of Mid-Century Fiber and Mid-Century Telephone Cooperative. I grew up in Mequon, so we had Mid-Century growing up. Could you tell us about maybe the history? You said this year is the 70th. Anniversary of Mid-Century.
Yeah, we're very excited. It is our 70th anniversary. We actually were founded back on August 14th of 1950 when we started.
So we just went past the 70th.
Oh, yeah, we're just past the 70th.
This is last week.
And it's something that we're very proud of. And, you know, our goal and what we're doing and edging out is all part of, one, trying to keep our communities relevant, right? Yeah. So our communities in our co-op area, but also around us, because we want people to stay in these areas. We want to keep them relevant, but we also want to keep ourselves relevant at the same time. So it's really key for us to grow and get some scale so we can be here for the next 70 years, you know, as we look at what may change in our industry and our business from a regulatory perspective in the future.
What makes a cooperative unique? What is a cooperative?
Yeah, great question. You know, when you look back, it's interesting looking at history because back in the day, the areas we serve as part of Mid-Century Telephone Cooperative, they were areas that were underserved. There were areas that nobody else wanted to serve. And, you know, this was back in the day when you had farmers and small families having to communicate, putting their own lines up, building their own mom-and-pop telephone companies, if you will, in their own small areas and pockets. And what we've enabled, you know, to happen is bringing all those together, working with the state when we were, formed back in the day, and actually, you know, bring newer technologies, to our areas. And as a co-op, we're member-owned. That's what's exciting. So our customers in our co-op actually own us. And so, our primary focus is to make sure we take care of our customers. One, our owners. Two, even though we have co-op members in our co-op, for those in Knoxville and so forth, they're not co-op members, but we work with them and treat them just as if they are co-op owners. We all expect high-quality service.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about those communities in the co-op. Mm-hmm. All small communities.
Oh, yeah, very small.
And that was the whole idea. Mequon, Fairview.
Yep. Yeah, you look at our exchanges. You got Altona. I'm just going to say them in alphabetical
order. Yeah, please do. No, that's great.
Altona, Bishop Hill, Ellisville, Fairview, Gilson, Lafayette, Maquon, Marietta, Smithfield, Summum, Table Grove, Victoria, Williamsville, Yates City. And what's interesting, when you look at all those names of those towns, we go as far north as Bishop Hill and as south as Summum. So we are long. So I hope nobody's at the very end of Summum and have a trouble calling Bishop or have an issue we got to run up to. But you know, that's one of the exciting things, too, Chris, as far as our growth, is we've now expanded our operation out in Oak Run. We serve that area. So we actually have a facility there. So now we've got equipment deployed at both Fairview and Oak Run so we can quickly react to any issues in any part of our network, whether it's in our co-op or edge-out areas, to take care of those problems.
Now, headquarters was out of Canton.
Correct.
Back in the day.
Yep.
And then they moved to Fairview about 20 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So, and with this beautiful facility, and you still have, that's where your headquarters are. All your billing and everything is.
That's where our primary office staff's located.
Yeah, absolutely. And there were some other properties there, too, like homes there. Is that all that area there owned by Mid-Century?
Yeah. Today, the only thing we own is the property we sit on. When we came into Fairview, we actually bought the property where we sit on today all the way down to where the gas station sits today.
Yes.
And we helped develop that and so forth as an economic type thing. But today, we just have our facility only.
Well, I remember when that was built there, 20 years. That was a big thing for Fairview. I grew up around that area. Mm-hmm. And so many local people employed.
Oh, yeah.
With Mid-Century, and it's just it's a major employer down there.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. We've actually had to expand our parking lot there, and we run out of all kinds of parking space. So when I started with the organization at Mid-Century back in 2011, we had, I think, 19 employees. So we're over 50 employees now. So,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That is incredible. We're talking with Jim Bromer. He's the CEO of Mid-Century Fiber. You said one of the benefits of the co-op is to bring new technology to these rural areas. And internet, you were right. Mid-Century was right on the forefront of that back in the day. And now innovation with fiber, bringing that to the rural areas. It's incredible.
Yeah. You know, the thing we're excited about is in addition to helping communities around us in these edge-out territories, we're actually working on a multi-year project to replace all of our copper and all of our co-op area with fiber. And we're not talking about just towns. We're talking about all the rural areas of our cooperative. So we're well over 50%, getting close to 60% of our co-op area having fiber to the home. So it doesn't matter if you live in town or if you live 13 miles out of town in that exchange, telephone exchange, you're going to have fiber to the home, which is tremendous. And, those people, no matter where you're at in our co-op, is going to have access to gig internet service.
That's right. Well, and streaming TV is such a huge part of this. You mentioned this, and I wanted to touch upon it. Cutting the cable cord.
Yep.
You can save people money.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. You know, one of the other things we take very seriously is our role in our region, our communities, to educate them on how to utilize the service. And one of them is streaming. Yeah. Everybody streams their videos on their phone or, they go out and do the different things on there when they look at the internet and so forth. But there's so many different streaming services. You could cut the cord from your traditional cable service, go online, upgrade your service to a gig, for example, especially if you've got multiple people in the house streaming, and be money ahead and have access to these services without contracts or anything else related to it, even to a point. And I don't think I've shared this with you before, Chris, but, we don't even offer video on our edge-out areas, traditional video service, because we want them to cut the cord. We want them to use those services, and we're actually going through a process right now. We are looking to terminate our cable service and our co-op as well at the end of this year.
Sure.
So we've notified all of our current cable subscribers, again, working with them, how they can take advantage of saving money from us.
Yeah.
Because all we do is pass on the costs of, programming fees that we see and take full advantage of what the broadband's all about.
So if I understand what you're saying, right now you offer TV services and you're actually going to stop that at the end of the year.
We're encouraging people to leave us.
Yeah, you're encouraging people to leave you to stream totally.
Yes.
And that's going to be a big learning curve for a lot of your certainly your older customers. But we were talking off mic earlier. That's not so much an issue nowadays.
No. 5 years ago, if we were having this discussion, there's no way we could ever have considered that from a video perspective. But things have changed so much. People are embracing the technology today. And it was always funny. We go to industry meetings. They talk about an older generation not being able to understand it. Those days are long gone. You know, the kids, they know it inside out. They teach everybody in the household how to use it, including grandma and grandpa. And that's the way they communicate with their family and friends when they don't live here close to home. So,
that's right.
You know, they're embracing it. It's really fun. We had one person a couple that was older. We went into their house, helped them set up streaming. The husband had his own TV set with his own streaming device. The wife had hers own, and they wanted to watch their own stuff, and they wanted to be bothered. So we set them up in both of their individual rooms, and they're as happy as can be. And
when you say they're an older couple, how old are we talking?
I would say close to 90.
90 years old, and yeah. They're both streaming their own individual devices.
Oh, yeah, yeah. they don't want to share devices.
That's right. But the key there is that you help them set it up, and you educated them, help them learn how to work it.
Yeah, and that's through our what we call our One Source. That's a whole part of our arm of our business that's just taken off. Our team over there, they're booked up constantly, almost 100%, especially right now through COVID-19, as people are trying to take advantage of this stuff. So,
Jim, it's hard to believe our time is almost up, but I wanted to go back real quick and continue talking about your One Source service, and it's about helping people learn about these technologies and how to use them in the home, no matter what age they are.
Yeah, no question. Our One Source team's really a big part of our business and really a big part of the future of our business. Yeah. So it's one thing to build the infrastructure and bring services, but it's how do you use the technology that's there and the robustness of it. So that's what's really exciting about One Source. And so we are getting involved, and our first focus has been streaming. How to assist people to cut the cord, take advantage of saving money, but get the streaming service that they need. And what's always interesting, Chris, is, you know, you talk to somebody and say, what's your top five programs you like to watch on TV? And they tell you, well, there may not be that specific program maybe on some of the other options, but if you search long enough and we help people with that, we'll search for them and say, oh, you like yachting. We've had this happen. Oh, I like yachting, and, you know, I really like to have some of that. We end up finding a channel on a Roku device. It was nothing about, it was all about yachting, an application on there. And so there is so much information that's available. It's right at our fingertips. And, you know, ours is to help you figure out how to take advantage of that. So we focus on that. And our next piece that we're really going to start jumping into is smart home devices. So how do you hook all that up and take advantage of those things? Because we're all getting into that technology.
When you say smart home, could you help our listeners know what that is?
No, I appreciate it. So smart home can be a all kinds of different things. So one is, you know, how do I, you know, my locks in my house, cameras, how do I hook up my refrigerator, my, you know,
thermostats,
all these types of different things. There's so many things you can hook up and manage with your phone, with devices in the house, remotely, lighting, all these types of things.
And you can help people get all that together and have it make sense.
Yeah, we can explain how it all works. You know, some people go and buy something off the shelf at Walmart or any location, right, that's out there, retail place, and they bring it in and they get home, they look, and I was like, oh, now what I do with it, right? So it sounds good. I want to take advantage of it. So those are things that we're going to be able to help with. But a lot of it's education, going to the community, providing classes, how to take advantage of this stuff. What can you do with the service?
Yeah, and no matter what age, and especially now with the coronavirus, people sheltering at home, it's even more important that there's some older folks that could connect with family and friends that they haven't seen in a long time. Just a tablet, a laptop computer, and show how this fiber can help you do that faster and easier.
Oh, yeah, right? No doubt.
Okay.
No doubt.
We're talking with Jim Brohmer, CEO of Mid-Century Fiber. You're such a lifeline for businesses here in the area, and I'm sure you've talked to lots of businesses that have been affected positively and negatively by what's going on in our world today. You're a lifeline to them.
Yeah. No, we we take, you know, services, whether it's residential or business, very serious. Yeah. But, you know, businesses, when you're open – you can't afford downtime.
No.
And you got to have that constant connectivity. And it's not just during the day, too. It's amazing how many businesses are uploading their data to different sources, locations, even in the evening for backups and these types of things. So they need that constant connection. And so we take pride in have been a good solution for that. And our business side is very strong. Where we see, have a lot of business customers, where, you know, with one of the towns is Canton.
Oh, yeah.
Canton, you know, there's a lot of businesses in town spread out all over the place. And we get engaged with them looking at and talking about connectivity. As it's not just broadband specifically itself, but it's also looking at hosted phone systems. So, you might have your location at your business with all your devices, your phones, but you may also have one that's an extension at somebody's house that's working remotely. So, you know, those are all things we can assist with. We're a great example with our company.
Yeah.
With our office staff, we have a few that's come back now, but at one point we probably had 80% of our office staff working remotely ourselves.
Oh, wow.
And so we could put their phone right in their house. You call, you have no idea where they're located. You're thinking they're in those buildings, in our walls building. They're not. And we found out, you know what, we can operate just as well with people scattered as we can inside the building.
Yeah. Wow. Fast, reliable internet service with this fiber phone, integrated phone systems. You can really take somebody's business and bring it into the next century here. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of people that need this, you know, credit card machines. They need, you know, what happens when that goes down?
Oh, yeah.
Can't take payments and anything. If you're a business out there and you're having issues with your current internet service, you need to call Mid-Century Fiber.
Oh, we'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Jim Bromer is the CEO of Mid-Century Fiber. We're going to take the last few minutes here and talk about the future. So you're into Knoxville. You called them fiber hoods.
Mm-hmm.
You said you've got 8 of the 12 in the Knoxville area done.
Correct.
What's next?
First off, we want to finish Knoxville up. So we need the rest of those fiber hoods, those individuals in those areas to get signed up with us so we can make those all happen.
Yeah.
But, you know, when we look at what's next, we continue to expand our edge out territories. And we just took fiber into the town of Toulon. So we're actually capturing some interests and signups in that community.
Yeah.
And that's really going well. We want to encourage everyone over in Toulon to keep moving along. Keep bringing those interests in, because the sooner we get them, the longer we can push things forward and bring services in there to the residential customers and the business. And while we did that, Chris, you know, we went through Toulon and we came on down into Wyoming and we tied into Princeville. And Princeville is a fiber of the hometown for us today, or one of our edge out communities.
Okay.
They're 100% built out. So beauty of what we do is when we look at these opportunities, we also are always looking at how do we ring our towns in to minimize outages, so we make sure there's a route coming in, there's a route going out. So if there's ever a major cut of any of our infrastructure, our customers are never out of service. And that's a critical part and extra investment we go through. And so that's important to us.
Well, you use the word never, and that's, you don't hear that very often. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, you know, we feel so strongly about our service, Chris, is that with our residential customers, we have no contract. When you sign up, when we come in your community, we'll lock in whatever package you take. We'll lock in that for that price for life. As long as you live in that house, we'll never raise your rate.
Wow.
So when you look at those two issues alone, that's how strong we feel about our service. Because if we can't take care of you, we don't expect you to stay with us. If you want to leave us, at least have a conversation so we can find out where the real issue is.
Wow. That's pretty strong, Jim. That's great. Jim Bromer is the CEO of Mid-Century Fiber. I've heard one of my coworkers here lives out in Lake Bracken. Mm-hmm. Are you heading out that way too?
We're working on it. We're looking at a lot of things. You know, one of the exciting things we did is we just recently received an award with the Connect Illinois Broadband Program.
Oh.
So the state of Illinois in unserved and underserved areas, they implemented a $400 million grant program. They just did their first round, $50 million, that they announced. It's probably been a good month or so, probably a month ago now. And we actually were an awardee on that. And so we have a $6.2 million project in which we got a $3.0 million award from this broadband program. So that's going to continue to help us expand.
Yes.
And we're looking at some other real interesting grant opportunities that are out there that we're going to try to get engaged in, see how we can keep bringing more services into our areas and in some cases more rural areas outside of our co-op area.
Well, and that's what you're about is helping these small communities. One quick thing I saw on your website, by the way, you've got lots of it. Anybody can go to their website, check out all of this information. It's a wealth of info there. Youth scholarships, I saw that you're a part of that as well, helping the young people in your communities.
Oh, yeah. You know, we're invested in our communities, and we've been involved in some offering scholarships for quite some time. And so we just announced recently our current four recipients of that as they headed out to college for the semester. And we do a lot of different things like that, whether it's doing that with all of our school districts. We work very closely with them, getting them all connected with fiber so they can have gigabit internet services plus at their school locations and our libraries. We try to get fiber into all of our libraries that's in our territory, and whether it's our co-op or edge out area. And we even do a summer reading program with our libraries where we donate Kindle e-readers to the library for students who read the most books or whatever program they want to set up. So, community is important to us.
Well, thank you for what you and your staff are doing. We're out of time, but I do encourage people to go to the website.
Fiberfastnow.com.
Absolutely. There's all the information you need there. And if you are interested in learning more about fiber, what it can do, and to get that interest in your community, contact them.
Yeah, that no question. If you're out here, and no matter where you're at around us, go out to fiberfastnow.com, fill out a form. If you don't tell us where you're at and let us know what that you have interest out there. We'll never know. And that's how we collect majority of our data. So we encourage you to go there.
All right. Well, be careful out there. Best to you and your staff, Jim. And again, thank you for what you do. And come back and see us again soon.
Now, Chris, we appreciate it.